You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Majan Satrapi, the award-winning graphic artist, author, and director of Persepolis, returns to our show, this time to discuss her most recent film, Chicken with Plums. Like Persepolis, it's based on her book of the same name. It's co-directed by Ms. Satrapi and Vincent Perrineau. Chicken with Plums describes the last days of Nasser Ali, a world-class musician who's decided to die because his instrument has been smashed. It opens this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza in Angelica Cinemas, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Majan Satrapi back to our show today. Hello.
Hello. I'm very happy to be back here. It's my third time, actually.
Yes.
Yes.
Like Persepolis, the reason is the first time we talked about the book Persepolis, mm-hmm. and then we talked about the film, and now here we're talking about your second film. It's also set in Iran, but this time in the 1950s, was it more difficult to draw on and describe a time in Iran that you didn't personally experience?
In a way, it is more difficult because, you know, since you have not seen the things, you know, you have to make a lots of work of documentation and look at a lots of stuff. But at the same time, you know, I grew up very much with my grandmother, who made a description of exactly however it was, how it was, the way it was. And I also knew this old Tehran because I grew up there. So, you know,
But it was a time of transition again because Mossadegh had been overthrown and now... The Shah was just establishing his power.
Absolutely, and it's not by coincidence that I also wanted to put the story at this moment because also, you know, the name of the lost love, the woman that this Nasser Ali is in love with is Iran, and Iran actually is the name of the country. It's like being called America in America. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course it's a symbolic in that, but I just wanted to keep it underneath. But as a work, it was more easy to do this one because Persepolis emotionally was something very, very difficult for me.
Because it was autobiographical, largely.
It's autobiographical, you know, you draw your grandmother who is actually dead and, you know, she's actually walking the way you have imagined her and you've drawn her. It had to do, you know, with the things that they were extremely tough for me. And it was sometimes, you know, even with the people that were working with me, that was very tough for them too.
But this is also based on a real story to some degree.
Well,
Nasser Ali is based on your great uncle.
Well, the only real part is Nasser Ali was my great uncle, and he was actually a good musician. And actually, when he played in his garden, people they would stop and listen to him. And he died out of sadness. This is the only thing that I know. Then I saw a picture of this man who looked very romantic, but with an extreme melancholy, and I love melancholy. And, you know, that was a moment, I think, in my life when I had all these questions and, you know, things, ideas about life and death and art and family and passion and whatever. So I think basically I made a projection of myself over this man. And in this way, he's the closest character to me.
The way you describe that, it sounds like you've outgrown all of those feelings.
Yes, of course.
As you get older, you lose that kind of passion?
No, I have always the kind of passion that I've always had. But, you know, sometimes you ask yourself that, you know, like I'm a person that I will put, you know, like my art in front of everything. Even, you know, I have always said it to my husband. First is my art and then is you. And it's okay for him because otherwise, you know, I mean, living with me is not this easy. And having me like 24 hours per day should be unbearable for him. So it gives him some free time. But, you know, then you are like, you can have kind of bad conscience. Like all the women is like, oh, I'm so devoted, you know, like. And, you know, like I'm very much devoted to my art. And, you know, like in this film, you know, the character, he does not like his children, not at the beginning and not at the end.
And it leads to real problems in the marriage because his wife would like him to be a bit more attentive.
Absolutely. But, you know, like him, you know, like I never liked to have children, you know, like, and I cannot say it because today as a woman, you're supposed to love to become a mother. And I really don't love to become a mother. I'm really very happy not being a mother. Especially that I always have this thinking that one day my child is going to be a 50 years old man and it's out of question that a 50 years old man will look at me and call me mama. I think I will die this day. So I don't have any children for that.
You said that Persepolis is not for Iranians, but for everyone else.
Yes.
This film as well. Well, first of all, how did that work? Has it been seen in Iran?
Yes, absolutely. On the black market, obviously. But, you know, of course, I mean, the day that the DVD came out in France, that was before everywhere else. 2 days after, I had a friend of mine who called me and he said, guess what? I'm watching the DVD of your film subtitled in Persian, which is like incredible. So Persepolis, it was more about the book because I made so many descriptions in the book of what is what that I thought that it was not necessary to describe all of things for the Iranian because they knew it. The film actually worked very well, especially for the generation that were born after 79 because there were things that they didn't know. But also from my own generation, you know, that I'm born in 70, it was like, oh, that was the story of our life. So, you know, that was all of that that made it that, you know, it became something, I think that the people, they liked it a lot. But this story is as much as for the Iranian and for the other ones. And the happy thing, I was happy, we showed it in Toronto last year, and that was three old Iranian lady that came to me and they say, first of all, thank you not to make a political movie. We are sick of being talked about just by politics. And second of all, thank you to give us back the Tehran of our youth. So I was very happy.
Well, art is a major part of the Persian culture going back thousands of years. And it's something that people forget when we talk about the political aspects of Iran in the world today. Persepolis is an animated film drawn in the style of your graphic novels. Did you consider making Chicken with Plums into an animated film as well? Because this is a live-action film starring some pretty famous stars.
Absolutely. No, not at all. You know, it was a reason why I wanted to make the Persepolis in animation. I thought if we put this story in a certain geography with a type of human being, since it's a very specific story that happens at the very historical moment of the, you know, of the modern time, easily people, they can say, this is the geography we don't know. This is a kind of human being that they don't look like us, really. So this is the story of this Middle Easterner, you know, third world people. But it just was something about the abstraction of the drawing that anybody could identify to it. When I didn't need that at all, you know, for this film, because it's a love story, it's a melodrama. It's universal by definition. And also, you know, the will and the wish of trying something new.
And also the opportunity to work with some pretty amazing actors, Maître Amalric, Isabel Rossellini.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, when you have your wish list, you know, you're like, I want Maître Amalric, I want Isabella Rossellini, I want Chiara Mastroianni, I want this, I want that. And all of them, they say yes. Mm-hmm. This is like the most incredible thing that can happen to you.
Was this film easier to make because you had the graphic novel? Did that serve as something of a storyboard?
Not really, because really, you know, really the graphic novel is really a kind of narration. A storyboard is just the steps when you know the action and how you're going to change, you know, your point of view. So it has really nothing to do. It looks like it will help, but it won't. It's the real work of adaptation.
Unlike Persepolis, Chicken with Plums has a very non-linear style of storytelling. Can you explain how you tell it?
Well, you know, this is the story of a man who decides to die. He lies down in his bed, and then he remembers his life. But, you know, when you remember your life, it never comes in a chronological way. You know, you always have pieces of memory that come to you. Some of them, they are very sophisticated, you know, full of details. Some of them, you just remember one action, one sentence, you know, one look. And this is the way it is. So, you know, that is really a work of memory. So that's why you can go towards many different styles, many different narration. But I also like the idea that he remembers his life in the way the memory function. And then all of that is like a puzzle and it takes shape actually at the end.
Well, flashback is one of the oldest film techniques.
Yes.
It's a wonderful way of telling a story that is easiest to do, I think, probably in film.
Yes.
Because all we have to do is change the way people's hair styles or the clothing they have, and we know where they are immediately.
Absolutely.
Now, you also co-wrote this and co-directed it with Vincent Parrineau. This is the second time you've worked with him. Is there ever going to be a time when you'll make a film all on your own?
Yes, next film I'm going to make it all alone. I mean, you know, we are very good friends since ever, and you know, we did made these two projects together. But you know, we are not like the Rolling Stone, that you know, we are not a band, and you know, we have to do everything together. You know, it depends. You know, right now our inspirations are not the same. He has moved from Paris, etc. So I'm sure another time we will collaborate again, but now I have personal projects.
Well, do you think of yourself now as an Iranian filmmaker or as a French filmmaker? Because your films have been French and...
I think I'm a French filmmaker because Iranian filmmaker, they have to deal with the censorship. They have to deal with the government of the country in which they work. So, of course, you know, the way they have to make the cinema has nothing to do with the way I do with the cinema. My stories, they talk about Iran. And they, for that, you know, Lubitsch, for example, I'm not comparing myself to him, but he is an American movie maker, though his stories, they have really this, you know, Eastern European kind of humor.
Well, it's kind of sad that so many of the Iranian filmmakers, Abbas Kiarostami, one of the greatest filmmakers in the world, now making films outside. His last film was made in France. Others are also in exile, even though Iran has produced so many wonderful filmmakers.
Absolutely. It's very sad not to be able to work in your own country. It's very sad that for expressing yourself, you know, you have to move. But it also shows the power of cinema.
My guest is Marjane Satrapi. Her latest work is a film called Chicken with Plums, which opens this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza and Angelica Cinemas. There are some magical elements in the story, like Nasser Ali's conversation with Azrael, the angel of death. What do the magical aspects of the story add to a realistic that a realistic approach might not give you?
Well, you know, what you call the magical part of that, for me, I mean, coming from the culture I come from, you know, in the West, like, we are convinced that because we can calculate things, we know the science, you know, everything is under the control. But there's a part of life that it's not under the control. It's a part of life that we cannot calculate. And what is considered here as magical is a part of life that I don't understand, and I don't have any wish to understand it. I know these are things that happen. I know that I had a grandmother that once per week she told me that she met the angel of death, and actually the way that he is done is really the description that she made for me for 20 years every week. I saw him. And so it's like, you know, a part of life, like, you know, when you have to die at a certain moment, you die, you know, that, you know, these are things that you can be the biggest man in the world. These are things that they are not, on, you know, you cannot control them. And I like that.
As dying of a broken heart. He does consider suicide, but he just dies at a fairly young age. He's a musician. And music does play a major role in this film. Can you talk about the music in the film composed by Olivier Bernet?
Well, you know, the music is a very important element. It's like one of the characters of the film. And since, you know, we had lots of time for the preparation, we had an animatic, and Olivier Bernet is a guy who used to have a band, a rock band with Vincent, you know, many years ago. And he's a very, you know, talented, gifted musician. So he started composing the music even before we started shooting it. So he is his talent plus the Philharmonic Orchestra of Berlin plus a very good violin player, all of that, Renaud Capuçon, that makes this music.
Although you have changed the instrument, it's a violin in the film. It was more of a plucked instrument, like a sitar or a guitar.
Yeah, but you know, a tar is a very incredible instrument for the non-Iranian. It has a very special shape. It is played in a special way. It's immense. So, you know, for the reason of narration, if you have an instrument that takes too much attention, where this instrument is supposed actually just to be a symbol for something else, another story, it would not work. We had to have an instrument that would actually make, that would not be too much of an instrument, that would just take a little space.
Before you go, just one more thing. Do you believe, as Nasser Ali's music master does, that great art only comes from strong emotions, that you must suffer to make great art?
I don't think that you necessarily have to suffer a lot, because if you suffer a lot, you end up in a mental hospital and you don't become a great artist. But I know by myself that some days that I'm very happy, like I wake up, I feel that I'm very pretty, that sun is shining, that is never this day that I go to my studio and work. This day I go out buy myself a new dress. So, you know, I think it's a little bit necessary.
Well, if you were able to go back to Iran and do the work you wanted to do, do you think that that would make you too happy?
If I could just go back in the street that I grew up, if I could just walk another time in the mountains I used to walk in every day, if I could just see another time, you know, the blue of the sky that is not blue, is so much pollution that is gray, I think I would be very, very happy.
Although
yes.
Right now Iran is going through other tragedies, another earthquake that has claimed many lives.
Unfortunately.
Majan Satrapi's latest work is a film called Chicken with Plums, based on her graphic novel of the same name. It is going to open this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza and Angelica Cinemas. And you said you're working on something new?
Yes.
Is it going to be a graphic novel or a new
film? No. Right now I'm working on an American script that I have not written at all myself. And, I'm working on the casting and these things. And for me, it's going to be really a big intellectual and artistic challenge to enter into somebody else's world. So, yes.
So you're thinking of yourself nowadays as a filmmaker first?
No, because I don't know how to make films. And, you know, I don't think that I'm anything. I think that these are things that I really like to do. Like right now, I enjoy making movies. Maybe later on I will become a dancer or a singer. Who knows?
Well, we'll find out soon,
yeah,
and you'll
absolutely.
Probably come back and talk about it. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Leonard.
Majan Satrapi, her film, Chicken with Plums.